Children, we're starting.
That's right.
Showtime!
Another Fresh Picked Pod from audio2u.com. Shutters Inc. with Shelton Muller.
Might wish to stay on and listen.
Hi, and welcome to episode 102 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from audio2u.com. With me on the line once again, Shelton Muller. How are you?
Hey, I'm pretty good, mate. How about you?
Excellent. We're finally getting some warmer weather up here.
Well, you know, we're starting to get a little bit of rain down here.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I've got a bit of a Woodstock thing happening on the weekend. My sister owns some property up in the hills, and we're gathering a whole bunch of friends. I'm going to fire up, turn it up, turn the amps up to 11.
3 days, man! Three days!
Turn it up to 11. And why don't you just turn it up to 10 and make the 10 11? No, ours go to 11. Anybody who's seen Spinal Tap will recognize the... this is Spinal, will recognize the scene. So we're going to turn it up to 11. And rock away. But apparently, and it's an outdoor thing, it's going to be like Woodstock, but without the sex, the drugs, and the nudity. Which is why everybody's saying they may not come.
Right.
But we just invited a whole bunch of friends, and we're going to rock the place. And now, of course, they say it's going to rain all over us. We're planning on having a bit of an outdoor gig.
Right.
So now we get the rain after years of telling my sister, come on, I want to rock your property. And she's finally said yes. So just my luck, it's going to rain on my parade. But apart from that, it's good to have the rain, because, boy, do we need it down here.
Well, we've just had the mildest summer here in Sydney so far. It's been crazy. Anyway, sorry, you were going to say?
No, I was just going to ask all our listeners how they are. I'm sure there's a lot freezing up there in the northern hemisphere.
Mm.
But no matter what kind of weather it is, we're all taking pictures. So, that's the good thing. A couple of emails to handle, if that's all right with you, Bruce. Yep. You got nothing otherwise?
Well, okay. I was going to mention Landon's email, which I'm assuming you've got on your list.
I've got it right in front of me, right here. Good on you, Landon, which is the one regarding the lens babies.
Yeah.
And the bokeh technique. By the way, that's spelt, Bruce, for future reference on audio2u.com, it's spelt B-O-K-E-H.
Ah.
As it's not a floral bokeh,
no,
my friend.
Well, no, I realize that, but I didn't realize there was a different spelling.
B-O-K-E-H. I'm going to have to look at the etymology of that word, but that's right. The way it's spelled. But that's all right. I'm sure we'll all forgive Bruce, won't we, gang?
I'm a sound engineer.
He's a sound engineer, learning photography like the rest of us, and doing a damn good job of it too, my friend, let me tell you.
Thank you.
Landon Michelson, I'm just going to read some of the email. Just listen to 101, always good to hear your voices. Thank you, Landon. We were talking last week about creating your own bokeh, and he says, hey, even the Lens Baby folks have done this for a while and offer a purchasable product for this. Then he gives us the URL. Have we put that on audio to you, mate?
It will go up in the show notes with this episode.
Fantastic. Okay. I have done it as well, but just use black vinyl from the sign industry to make my shapes. Stick them on the aperture disc after I cut out my shape with an X-Acto knife and insert it into the Lens Baby, and you have any shape you want. Now, I have a Lens Baby, and Landon, I'm going to give that a try. Definitely going to give that a try. This technique can certainly be overused, but fun as well. And he says he's going to dig out some samples, and then goes on to talk about depth of field control is top of mind in every photo I make. And we're going to come back to this in a minute. Shutter speed is important too, but I adjust that with ISO to meet my DOF goals whenever possible, or depth of field goals. I think that's a very vital point to make. I'm going to read that again. Depth of field control is top of mind in every photo I make. Shutter speed is important too, but I adjust that with ISO to meet my depth of field goals whenever possible. And Landon, that's why your photos are so successful, if you don't mind me being so blunt, because you use depth of field creatively, as we all should, and of course to maximize it in your landscapes is ideal. I think that's just smart. I really do. And we cannot underestimate the power of depth of field. And like I say, we're going to come back to that in a little bit. I do have an episode idea that is rarely covered. Shooting for commercial purposes, shooting for creative directors, shooting for advertising, copy space, etc. I dabble in all of this on the side and do marketing design for a living, but the entire industry really is an engine all its own. I'm sure you have enough experience to talk on the subject, but a commercial photographer as a guest might be a good idea to break things up. Well, Landon, what do you think I am? I am a commercial photographer. I do a lot of commercial work. Look, we will. We'll come back to that because shooting commercially, if a client were to ring you up and say, hey, can you do this shoot? And you were to turn up and you wanted to look professional, but maybe it was one of your first times out, you know, with an ad agency or with a magazine. How do you turn up, make it look like you know what, you know, you're doing and who's who and what role they have? We'll talk about that, actually, because sometimes that happens. You know, you're asked to turn up and do a shoot. You're really happy to get into the industry, but who are these people? Like, what is he here for and what is he here for? What's my role? What's my responsibility when I turn up to do a shoot for a magazine? I'm the photographer, but do I have to do this as well? Do I have to do that as well? And we'll talk about that in the next few episodes, Landon. A really good idea. Thank you for that. And then, of course, I got another one from Mark Popish today. And first of all, thanks, Obi-Wan, is the email, and I've emailed you back, Mark, and I'm sure you've got it now by the time you've read this. But he said, thank you so much for answering my email on the show. My family got a real kick out of hearing you read it out aloud, although they were a bit lost once you started talking about the answer. You didn't really address my second question about converting those small lenses to the 35mm equivalent. After listening to your discussion on depth of field and giving it more thought, I don't think it much matters, as I figure you have to know the sensor size to make the conversion. That still leaves me with having to surf review sites, and they typically list the conversion. I really want a camera that opens to a 28mm equivalent. Not many do. Don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining. The DSLR still rocks. Well, thanks, Mark. You know, to be quite honest with you, and I have actually written you back with much the same answer. I'm not, and never have been, and never will be, a tech geek, as it were. No offense to the guys who are techs using the word geek. It's actually a compliment, I think, these days, isn't it, Bruce?
Yep.
It's not no longer, you know, infers any nerdyship on any nerdiness on your part. But to be honest with you, I use technology to create images. I think as we've said before, you know, every art has a science attached. And you do have to know that science to some degree, but I have avoided getting bogged down in the science of it because I just am not interested in scientific things to that degree. It fascinates me. But in terms of creating my art and photography, I look through the viewfinder and what I see, especially if I use my depth of field preview or what I know, I'm able to pre-visualize. That works for me. And I wouldn't actually on the spot while I was taking a photograph say, well, what size sensor is this and what size lens is this and do all that in my head. I know what I'm seeing through the viewfinder. I know what I'm seeing in the back of my mind in my pre-visualization. And I avoid a lot of those technical things. As I think equated or this before, I think that it's sort of like music. You know, I've known musicians who can read music, you know, like they were reading a child's novel. You know, they're just so easy. But then when they pick up an instrument, they're terrible because they have no natural gift. And then I've known people who just can pick up any instrument and play away and make it sound fantastic, but can't read a note of music and have no technical understanding of music, anyway. So I think really for all photographers, there has to be a balance between, yes, definitely understanding the science, but more importantly, perhaps, or at least of equal importance, is getting in touch with your own vision. And that's what we wanted to talk about today. I was watching one of the last episodes of Parkinson. I don't know whether you get the Parkinson show up there in the United States or Canada, or I'm sure it's all over Europe, but Parkinson, of course, is a very famous British interviewer, and he was doing one of his final shows, and he had Michael Caine on. They've been friends for a long time. And Parkinson said to Michael Caine, he said, you have a lot of impersonators. In fact, I think the sat-navs actually have a Michael Caine voice. Can you imagine Bruce being directed around by Michael Caine? You know, 100 meters, turn left here, you know. And he said, so I understand there's impersonators of you around. But I hear you can impersonate yourself. And he says, yes, I can. I can impersonate myself. And I thought, oh, this will be interesting. How do you impersonate yourself? So he did exactly that. He said, hello, I'm Michael Caine. You know, and did this real sort of Cockney voice that Michael Caine doesn't really speak in to that degree, but Michael Caine impersonating Michael Caine was rather hilarious. And I thought, well, he's obviously, impersonators have taken his signature tone, his signature accent, his signature, you know, inflections, as we do with all impersonators, exaggerated them, and made them their own. You know, that's why you always hear an impersonator, you know, if they're going to do John Wayne, it's sort of, you know, well, let's get these wagons in a circle, you know. And really, I don't think John Wayne ever spoke like that. But if you were to impersonate him like that, you'd know who it was, you know. I hope.
Yeah, that's
right. I hope. Okay, I wasn't doing Cary Grant or Jimmy Stewart, everybody, all right? I was wondering if I were to say to another photographer, I want you to impersonate my style. I want you to look at my photographs, my portfolio of photographs, and I want you to impersonate my style. I wonder what they would come up with. Because, one, I do have a signature way of working. I turn up and I think about, to a shoot, or I go to take a picture, and I go through a certain process. And then I embark on that process, and my photographs tend to yield. While there's a large variety in my images, and anybody who's been to my Flickr site or my website will can see there's a fair bit of variety in my images and how I do them, I also have certain signature processes, you might say, techniques that I will at least begin with and then maybe break away from as the shoot continues, or vice versa. I will not use them and find myself falling back on them if I'm just, you know, losing out. I know I've turned up to weddings very, very tired or perhaps uninspired. You know, you have your days and you have your, but you've still got to, you've got to do the thing. I've turned up to shoots just not wanting to be there at all, and you've still got to do it. So you have this formula that you fall back on, and it's not always good, but at least you can produce images that are interesting, reliable, and, you know, creative, although they may be part of a formula. Mine is that, because I do a lot of people photography, I was looking through a wedding just recently, and I have a couple of things that I do that I see regular, that I see in my images. First of all, as anybody who's listened to Shutter's Inc. for the last couple of years knows, I love minimal depth of field. I love the fact that you can open apertures right up, use long lenses, and just wipe everybody out except the subject. And I do a lot of that with my people photography. There's a photographer in Kentucky named Heather Morris, and she's, you know, joined me as a contact in Flickr. And we've been talking, and basically she's asked me what I think of her wedding photography, and it's nice, but she relies a lot on composition, which is lovely. But I have also been trying to suggest to her that she rely a lot on, you know, her minimizing her depth of field in her wedding work, and buying, you know, an 85 or a 100 mil lens or something with a very wide aperture. So that's her next step. People look at my work and they wonder what it is that they're looking at that impresses them. And I think, first of all, that's it. That I like to use medium length lenses or long lenses with minimal depth of field. I will walk back 100 meters and use a long lens just to get the effect that I want, rather than standing 10 feet away and using a wide lens, because it's a completely different way of looking at the subject. So that's one thing that I do a lot. The other thing is that I use the dynamics of lenses. I love the dynamics of a really wide lens, especially up close. I love the dynamics of a long lens because of the way it compresses. So that's the second thing that I'll think about. Well, maybe not the second thing in terms of, you know, order, but that's another thing that I will think about. And so I will perhaps use, I very rarely use medium range lenses unless I'm in the middle, in the thick of it all, and I'm using my 17-50 Tamron. I use that a lot when I'm photographing people, when I'm right in the thick of it. For instance, at a wedding, and the couple is being congratulated by their parents and family and friends, I'm right in the thick of it with that lens, photographing things candidly, and it works really well. But if I'm deliberately setting up a shot, I will choose a lens, usually one end of the scale or the other. And anybody who will look at my work can see that, yes, usually I'm somewhere in the telephoto or I'm somewhere in the really wide. But I very rarely use lenses that are medium range. And that's another aspect of my personal vision. And then, of course, I like to crop tightly. And I'm learning actually to even crop even more tightly. So the combination of those things comes together to form Shelton Mueller's vision. I've recently added another thing that we have talked about on Shutter's Inc., and I've been wondering why I've been talking about these things a lot, and that's because they're things that I personally relate to, and that is off-camera flash. I have so fallen in love with off-camera flash because of its ability to create my own light wherever I want it to come from, however I want it to shape the subject. I'm able to do that. So thank you, Nikon. Thank you so much. Into my camera. I love it. I absolutely love it. And then, of course, you know, which I won't talk about today, there are certain post-processes that I use to finish off my particular vision. And one of them is vignetting and another one is Gaussian blurring, especially in wedding work. But that basically is it. And I think if you had a look at my work, you'd be able to say, yep, I see exactly where you're coming from, Shelton. That is your signature process. Yet, if you have a look at my work, there's a fair bit of variety in terms of subject. The other thing, of course, that I didn't mention is perspective. I like to, especially when I'm working with a really wide lens, alter my perspective to either get low to the subject or above the subject, just to give it something extra in terms of dynamics. Not always, but that's another thing that I throw in every now and again. Stand on something or get on the ground and photograph upwards. It's another part of my personal or signature vision. So that's me. And if anybody ever wanted to impersonate me, they could, and please don't, because you're probably better than me, but if anybody ever wanted to, that would be how they could do it. And I think what I'd like to do is put the question to you, the listener. If someone wanted to impersonate you as a photographer and said, I really love his style or I really love her style, would it be something that could be done? Or have you not established it yet? You know, yourself, Bruce, while I've been going through this, have you been thinking, well, what do I do when I take a picture? Have you come up with anything?
Well, as I've mentioned on a couple of occasions in the past, I shoot almost exclusively in aperture priority. And
because you want to control your depth of field?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, you know, when I see something that strikes me as being something that I want to take a photo of, that this is an image I want to capture and want to keep, The very first thought that comes to me after I've decided, yes, this is something I want to capture, is how much depth of field do I need, you know, to render this image the way I see it in my head? So my very first question to self is, you know, roughly what aperture are we going to want for this?
Mm-hmm.
And then it is a question of what focal length is going to suit this particular subject best.
Yep.
And so I'm not sure if
far off. You've been listening to me too much.
I think I have.
I hope I'm not hindering any expansion upon your personal vision, Bruce.
No, not at all. God, I look at the stuff I was shooting, you know, 3 years ago, and it's just horrible in comparison to the stuff I take now.
Yeah, and you do some lovely work, you know, and what you did in the States is just gorgeous, mate, absolutely gorgeous. And I'm proud that I, you know, played a small part in your creation of those images.
That was more than a small part.
Thank you. I think it's important, especially if you want to become, or you want to work as a photographer, either full-time or part-time, people do hire you based on some kind of vision that they see you have that another photographer does not. And that vision, of course, now extends even into the post process, because that's the image that they see. And so I have these, you know, and I look at my Photoshop actions and I say, yep, that's all me. That's my personal vision. And I want to suggest to everybody out there that we do this, that you have a look through your images. And if you have found that you really don't have one, or that the vision that you have is just not working for you, analyze your process. If you have a particular signature vision or a particular way of going about things, and I think we all do, because every creative person is unique in how they see things, how they hear things, how they create things, and you find it's just, you know, not working for you, perhaps analyze the process and say, well, where is it that I'm going wrong? And then correct it. But as I've often said on this podcast, analyze the pictures you really like. This is how I learned. A friend of mine said, "Never learn from your mistakes in photography. Always learn from your successes." And I really, really think that's wise. Look at the pictures that work, and then analyze why they work, and what process was used, and then adopt that process more and more with slight variations depending on where you are and the context and the subject and all that kind of thing, and use it again and again. And the more you use it, the more you actually will be able to expand upon it. You don't think for a minute, I'm going to get stuck into a rut, I'm going to get stuck into a routine. Expand upon it, vary it slightly, use that same process with different subjects, and you'll get a great variety of images. Analyze your images and see if would it be possible for somebody to impersonate me? You know, I mean, we all know the famous photographers, and they all have their signature vision. You know, Henri Cartier-Bresson was, you know, capture that moment. And of course, you know, Galen Rowell was those beautiful wide-angle morning and afternoon landscapes that he did. Daryl Benson has a beautiful way of capturing color and getting a low perspective on a landscape. There's all these fantastic photographers that have a signature vision that not only sells their work, but gives them a lot of personal success, you know, and drives their passion. If perhaps you haven't done that yet, established your signature vision, I think of Holly Sassoon. Hello, Holly. I hope you're listening. Your signature vision is that very high overhead portrait thing, and I think it's fantastic. It works for you, and I no doubt you are hired to do a lot of portraits based on that. A lot of people would not actually look at that photograph unless they were photographers and say, oh, I see what she does, why can't I do that, or I will just do that myself. People don't actually think along those lines when they see a great photograph. They just know they love it and they want to hire you to take it. So don't be afraid of establishing a signature vision, but, you know, rather get passionate about establishing your personal process in terms of composition, lens dynamics, depth of field, light, etc., etc. Put them into your process and then make them yours. Everybody will have their slight nuances on that.
I think you could say the same thing about Landon Michelson's work.
Absolutely.
You know,
yes,
those,
absolutely.
You know, long time exposures, wide angle lenses, you know, close to the waterline.
Yes.
It's very
yes.
much a signature look.
And Landon, I don't know, mate, but I doubt you're getting sick of it, you know, because you do it all the time and it just works.
Well, if you keep reading the notes that he puts under them when he posts them on Flickr, it's like every morning on his way to work.
Yeah, I know. And good on you, Landon, for keeping the passion alive, mate. And yeah. Look, I think you've just quoted an absolutely perfect example of someone we all know well, and that's Landon, BK Secret Photo. On Shutters Inc. Landon has a beautiful signature vision, and of course, you know, so does Holly, so does you know, Mr. Photomeister. Signature vision, all signature visions. You know, I would suggest, if you haven't done it yet, go to Shutters Inc. and have a look at our friends. I think that we've got 100 members now, don't we, Richard, on Shutters Inc. So go down there and have a look, and you'll be able to see that, you know, the photographs that, or the photographers you like the most, seem to have a consistent pattern of shooting or a signature vision that will vary, of course, whether they're photographing landscapes or whether they're photographing, you know, people or whatever it might be. But there's something particular about them that is consistent through their images, with maybe the odd variation where they themselves have just gone completely left of center. But have a look. Go to Shutters Inc. If you haven't got a Flickr site yet, make one and become part of the Shutters Inc. family. And have a look at the photographers whose work you like. And I tell you this, you will see consistency in their vision, no matter what it is they're photographing. And then find out what it is yourself. Get your 10 best photographs up on the screen or on the table. Have a look at them and say, what am I doing? Why do I like these? What's worked? What is my vision? And then continue to use that. And you will enjoy your photography so much more because it's always going to be a fallback position from you to start from. You'll never turn up anywhere frustrated. You'll never turn up for a shoot going, oh, what am I going to do? You'll always have a starting position. And then, as with any race, what happens after that starting position all depends on all the other players. But, you know, what happens thereafter is a good thing. But unless you've got that starting position, which is your personal vision and your personal process, you may not know exactly where to go. So, you know, analyze yours, analyze theirs, and come up with something, as I've said, you know, a few times. So that's what, and look, I'd love to get your correspondence on this idea. Tell me what your personal vision is, what your processes are, and then, you know, what your favorite subjects are and how you like to photograph them, so that we can maybe even, you know, and perhaps, Richard, we could make this a forum on Shutterzinc. What is your personal vision? What is your personal process? And we'll get all of our fraternity and sorority. What's the one for sisters?
Sorority?
Yes. Sorority? Anyway, all our brothers and sisters on Shutterzinc to contribute. I think that would be a big help to everybody and a great way to share ideas. A couple of other things wanted to talk about. First of all, a long time ago, we fielded the idea of a video or visual tutorial photography site. And a few of you came back and said, yeah, I'd do it. And I really appreciate your support. Well, let me tell you, after some months of getting this up and running, thinking about it, it's only been in the recent that we've got it up and running. We are getting it up and running. There will be, and we'll mention details as things progress, but somewhere early to mid-March, we're hoping to have a website up and running wherein you can log in and you'll be able to watch, you know, videos that are very much like my one on YouTube on depth of field, but on all sorts of photographic techniques. What I suppose I'd love from you, if you want to help me out, is ideas on, well, the techniques that you think we should discuss. Naturally, I've got the basics covered, but as even with Shutterzinc, we're going to get to a point where, boy, I'll be really needing your help to come up with subjects. But we have the bases covered, and of course, a few interesting techniques that we want to talk to you about. And the idea of the website will be that you can log in, watch a video, a how-to type slideshow that will say, you know, okay, here's the shot, here's what we did to get it, here's what you can do to get it. And within just a couple of short minutes, you'll be able to walk away and go, damn, I got to do that. You know, I'm going to go out and do that right now. That's the whole idea of the site, that you don't have to spend too long to find out a really important or really funky photographic technique, and you can just go out and do it. So if that interests you, let me know. It will be a paid website, and we're thinking of somewhere around the $49 US a year for a subscription to, you know, the website. We will upload new videos on a very regular basis. That has to be discussed, how regular, but you'll be able, you know, to watch these, get great understanding and new techniques, and go out and use them. So we'll keep you up to date on when that's running, and let you know how you can, you know, be a part and all that kind of thing as the data, you know, as we get closer. But that's our idea. And again, thank you so much for your encouragement to get that idea up and running a few months ago when we fielded it. It's just been a case now of, well, should I do it? Should I not? Should I do it? Should I not? People said do it, so I did it. And we found the right, you know, people in just the last couple of weeks to get the whole thing up and running. And basically, we're getting it done. So love to have the Shutterzinc fraternity as part of that. And, we'll keep you posted on all sorts of things from here on in. So let me know what you think, okay, gang? I really would appreciate your support.
Beautiful. All right, mate. Well, thank you for that.
That's my pleasure.
And we will catch you again next week.
Looking forward to it, mate. I'll have some more news next week. And, of course, again, thank you for your emails, people. We should actually, something just popped straight into my head as we've been thinking. Poor old Walt in Newfoundland. Walt, if you're still there, we haven't forgotten you, mate. Some time ago, you asked for some tips on wedding photography. What we should perhaps do is just maybe do a few episodes in the coming weeks about each aspect of the wedding, arriving at the bride's home, at the ceremony, you know, after the ceremony. We should perhaps spend a few weeks discussing what you do in each of these time slots on a wedding. So if that interests you, I know it interests you, Walt. If it interests our listeners, all the gang, all the Shutterzinc gang, if that idea interests you, because a wedding is a daunting thing, let me know. And we can perhaps spend a few weeks discussing each aspect of a wedding day and how you handle it. You know, so that you guys can go out and shoot a wedding and not fear the consequences.
Beautiful.
All right. Okay.
And remember, send emails to shelton@audiotu.com or to me, studio@audiotu.com. And
yes, Studio.
That's me. Yep.
That's you. Right.
And we'll talk with you next week.
Okay, bud. You got it. Thanks, everyone.
All right, mate.
See ya.
See ya.
Now, how much of that did you understand?
Audio to You delivers the best quality podcasts direct to your desktop or portable. You be the boss. Hear what you want to hear.
When you want to hear.
Hit us today. And remember, Control D to bookmark. AudioToYou.com.
It's all over, Marge. It's all over.